Ecclesiastes chapter 2. Ecclesiastes chapter 2. Thank you. As you're turning there, I want to remind you where we've been the last 2 weeks. And friends, I like for us to remember a book by something. If you remember when we did Proverbs, it was the deeply rooted joy is not found in indulging yourself in simple things, but it is found in knowing the Lord our God. You remember? Anybody remember that one, Proverbs? Matthew, it was that the King has come, He's brought His kingdom, and we need to come before the King. This morning, or in these few weeks, as we go through Ecclesiastes, there's a theme, and I want y'all to say it with me, if you will. The true theme of Ecclesiastes is hope in God. Can y'all say that with me? Hope in God. As we come to Ecclesiastes and we've looked at this idea that there's everything under the sun, and he gives an adjective to everything under the sun, and it starts with a V. The adjective for everything under the sun, he says, is what? Vanity. And vanity, that word is passing. The word means like a mist. It comes and it goes. Like a fog. It rises and it disappears. Other translations, I think NIV and some others use meaningless. And I don't think that quite captures the point of what he's saying, because there is some meaning to things under the sun, but it's not an eternal meaning. And so I think the voice of the preacher here, or Khalid is the Hebrew name, but the voice of the preacher here is that things here are passing, and that we need to hope in God. Say it with me. Hope in God. Because there is a hope that we find on something not under the sun that gives us fulfilled, a full meaning to life. And that is why I enjoyed the hymns that we sang this morning. All creatures of our God and King, let's sing to something that means more than the created. Forever. In fact, my daughter picked that song this morning. Forever God is faithful. It's a great, great pick this morning. Forever God is faithful. Forever. He lasts forever. Let's look in Ecclesiastes chapter 2 and further this thought of hoping in God. Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verse 1. I said in my heart, come now, I will test you with pleasure. Enjoy yourself. So this is the preacher talking to himself. He's found vanity in wisdom. We looked at last week, the godless wisdom of the world. And even in true wisdom, there is a point at which some of it is passing. He says, now I'm going to use pleasure. I'm going to please myself. I'm going to be, if you will, a hedonist. Someone who seeks pleasure. Excuse me. I'm going to have a rough time this morning, so y'all please bear with me. I'm going to seek pleasure this morning. I'm going to try to fulfill a longing, a hope in myself with pleasure. And so here's me on the boat thinking, yep, I'm surrounded by things and people who are seeking to please themselves. And when you think about vacation and getaway, you think just about having what? Y'all got it. I didn't have to tell you. Vacation's about having fun. It's about bringing pleasure to yourself. It's about going to the buffet at midnight and getting a piece of pizza or ice cream all day, or about going to the illusionist or the comedian that's on the boat. Maybe it's about competition, playing some shuffleboard on board. Maybe it's about staying in the cabin and watching a movie or going to a late night concert. Maybe it's about playing with your new toys that you've got on the boat, your new device. Or maybe it's about finding pleasure in a relationship. You know, this is a marriage conference after all. Let's find pleasure in each other and in intimacy. I want to say this before I go any further. I'm not here to make anyone feel guilty or even myself guilty about finding pleasure, because there is certainly nothing wrong with pleasure. In fact, there's something very good I want to tell you about finding pleasure. There's something very good about enjoying things in our lives. There's something very good about going to a basketball game and enjoying the game. There's something very good about singing a song or gathering around a piano and enjoying music. These things are good. But remember the point of Ecclesiastes. His point is that there's more. And that there's, while we find joy and pleasure in things, there is a hope that must supersede the joys and pleasures that we have here on earth. There is a hope in God that will give us meaning to our lives. Because I can tell you this, no matter who you're with, she or he is not going to last forever. No matter what device that you've got and how helpful it is, it's not going to last forever. No matter how funny the comedian is, and I was laughing, my wife was looking at me like this, because I was laughing so hard one night, the show ended. And no matter how long the vacation, there's always an end. Solomon's point is this. Things pass. And if we seek to find our fulfillment and find our hope and find our lasting joy in things that don't last, we will be utterly disappointed. And our life will end in a depression or depressive state because we have not found fulfillment and that what we're looking for. So Christian, say it with me, hope in God. And that will get us to the place where God has made us. Now I used the word hedonist earlier, and that is someone who seeks pleasure in things. And many of you are familiar with that word, a hedonist. In some of his writings, in fact, in a book that really changed my life in a lot of ways, called Desiring God, author John Piper presents the idea that there is something to the idea of hedonism. The only problem with hedonism is you are seeking joy in things of this world. You are seeking joy in the created rather than seeking them in God. And if you haven't read the Desiring God or The Pleasures of God, it would be a great book for you to think through, because what he asserts is that our pleasures here are meant then to point us to pleasure ultimately in God. And that every pleasure we have here on earth is just a way of the Lord ushering us into a state of joy in Him. Let me give you an illustration. As we were on the boat one afternoon, in the middle of the Gulf of Mexico or maybe the Caribbean Ocean, I don't know where we were, I'm on almost the top deck, and I look out the window of the boat and I see birds fly. Wait a second. I know that we've been sailing for like a day away from land. I look around, there are no islands. Why are birds out in the middle of the Gulf of Mexico? So I looked down a little bit further, and the bird disappeared. I kind of wiped my eyes a little bit. This is strange. I looked down again, and there's another bird. And another. And I follow him, and he disappears again. And the second disappears. And I thought for a moment my eyes were playing tricks on me. So I look again, and there another bird appears. And then it disappeared, and I saw him disappear with a bit of a splash. And I realized that they weren't birds. They were flying fish. Flying fish. Fish that would come out of the water, and I saw them flapping. And they would flap, and they would flap, and they were right next to the boat, following the boat. flapping, flapping, flapping for about 15 seconds. And then he would go back into the water. Probably a foot off of the water. And I thought, that might be the coolest thing I've ever seen in my life right there. And I thought for a moment, I thought, oh God, you're amazing. You've made fish that can fly out of the water for 15 seconds or so and then disappear back in the water and swim. And that's the life they live. Out in the middle of nowhere, God made fish that fly. In the middle of nowhere, for nobody to see except the people on these ships that are out in the middle of nowhere. My heart was rejoicing because we worship a God. We serve a God who does amazing things. But you know what? He only flies for but a short time. If my joy and the delight in my soul were merely in a fish, then my delight would be short-lived. But church, let me tell you, my joy and my delight is not in a fish. Where is my joy, my delight? I hope in God. And so while the pleasures are good and neat and exciting and thrilling, they point me to a greater hope that is more delightful, that is more thrilling. Help me out, Belinda. All that thrills my soul is Jesus. Yes. Look at the end of that verse, verse 1. But behold, this also was what? You see it. It's all passing. It's all a mist. Pleasures are good. They're passing. Life is not about mere pleasure. And church, I want to tell you, go enjoy life. Please. But enjoy it because of who God is. And every time you laugh, and every time you feel good, and every time you smile, you look to the Lord and you say, God, you're good. You gave me this pleasure. Verse 2, I said of laughter, it is mad, and of pleasure, what use is it? Here he sees laughter, levity, comedy, if you will. It is mad. He sees pleasure. What use is it? He's getting to the point where he says, it doesn't really matter. While they may not be wrong, it doesn't really matter in the end that I laugh or that I have these pleasures. That's not what it's all about. What use are they? Let me stop for a moment and say, you know, there is a great balance in which the Christian mind thinks. So friends, let me encourage you in this. There is a mindset in which we seek our great joy and fun. And I didn't even have to say it. We go on vacation to have fun. You help me out. Fun seems to be the goal in life. In fact, many times I catch myself asking my children after church, how was Sunday school today? Did you have fun? How was Awana tonight, kids? Did y'all have fun? I have been so conditioned in the thinking of fun that's what it's all about. I have to correct my thinking because our society, our culture in America has led us to believe that it's about the fun. How was your basketball game today? Did you have fun? How was the parade today? Did you have fun? Did you have fun at the mall tonight? Did you have fun at the movie? Did you have fun at the theme park? Fun is a concept that we have saturated ourselves with, and we really don't see it much in Scripture. Fun. 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 Let's have fun. And I want to tell you, there's nothing wrong with fun. until it becomes our focal point. Did I have fun on the cruise? Yeah. Did I enjoy God on my cruise? You bet. You bet. I had some great times with the Lord on this cruise. I rejoiced in His creation. I rejoiced all things pointing back to hoping in God. Now let me give you one other thought on this. Here's another thought. Is there a sense, is there a way in which a believer, a Christian, a believer in God is supposed to enjoy things differently than a non-believer? Let's say it's 12:30 at night and I go to the pizza bar or the dessert bar, because they had that too. They had Mile High Cake. Okay. If I go and I get a piece of cake, is there a way as a believer that I'm supposed to eat differently than the cruise that's going on right now, which incidentally was a heavy metal cruise? As we saw them lined up, it was interesting. Every other person had a black shirt and a guitar in their hand. It was interesting. But the heavy metal cruise was on next. They're going to be enjoying Pizza Bar late at night. They're going to be enjoying Mile High Cake and ice cream. Is there a way that I, as a believer in Christ, am to enjoy whatever it is on that boat differently than a non-believer that may be on the boat this week or the week prior? I say there is. Let's look at verse 3. Y'all still with me this morning? Y'all feel like you've been there on a cruise with me, don't you? Not quite. I searched with my heart how to cheer my body with wine. My heart still guiding me with wisdom, and how to lay hold on folly, till I might see what was good for the children of man to do under heaven during the few days of his life. He sought with pleasure. Now we see him seeking with wine how to cheer his body, all leading to pleasure, to joy, to fun. Now there's an interesting phrase in verse 3 that I want to draw your attention to. He says this, my heart, do you see it there? After the dashes, my heart still guiding me with wisdom. What does that phrase mean? What is the preacher trying to communicate to us through this phrase? There is an idea in which what I believe the preacher is trying to show us in this is that through his pursuits, I believe he was not doing it in an ungodly way. Okay? He was having fun. He was drinking wine. He was doing all of these things, and we're going to get even to more things. But there was a way in which he had maybe guarded himself to where it wasn't just immorality. It wasn't just rampant immorality, but there was a way in which wisdom was guiding him, where he still had his head, if you will. He hadn't lost his head. He wasn't in drunkenness or in craziness like that, but he was in a sober-minded place of trying to cheer his life. Maybe we can think about it as Baptists with food. You know, there is a way in which we eat food, and there's certainly a sinful way to eat food in which we overindulge and become gluttons. It's a way of appreciating food for what it is, and seeking maybe the Mediterranean food, and maybe the Indian food, and maybe the Chinese food, and then maybe the sushi, trying to get all of the tastes and enjoying them, but still having wisdom about him. So I ask you again, is there a sense in which a Christian should eat his food? Is there a sense in which a Christian should experience a creation of God differently than a non-believer? Look at verse 4. I made great works. Any makers in here? Can I see anybody who makes things? Craft things? Wooden things? Let me see your hands. Don't be shy. Like three of you. All right. Well, the three of you, you make things. There's joy that you find in making things. Anybody agree with that? When you make a craft, when you make a cake, other people enjoy your cakes too. When you make a gumbo, when you make a cutting board, when you make whatever you make, there is a pleasure that you take in making that. There's something gratifying about making it and it being right. And then others seeing it and going, oh, wow, that's tasty or that's beautiful. Khalid, the preacher, made great works, built houses, planted vineyards, the garden club. He planted a vineyard and a garden. He made himself gardens and parks and planted them in all kinds of fruit trees. I made myself pools from which to water the forest. You think our culture likes making things? They do. Watch the Home and Garden Network. Right? You can learn how to make a chair and then learn how to tear down a house in the same TV show. It's crazy. But yes, we enjoy making things. Is there a way in which a Christian makes things differently than a non-believer? Verse 7. I bought male and female servants. I had slaves who were born in my house. I also had great possessions of herds, of flocks. I got things. I had fun. I had taste. I made things. I got things. I bought things. Male, female, slaves. Slaves born in my house. I had great possessions. Herds, flocks. More than any who had been before me in Jerusalem. I also gathered for myself silver, gold, treasures of kings and provinces. I got singers, both men and women, and many concubines that delight the sons of men. So I became great and surpassed all who were with me, who were before me in Jerusalem. And also my wisdom remained with me. I think in this sense, we've still got the point in which he's doing things, but he's not immorally doing things. He feels a restraint on these things. We buy things. We are a consumer culture. Somebody has convinced everyone that ice needs to last for 24 hours in a cup rather than for an hour. And so you can buy $40 cups now. Anybody have one? I got one on my trip. It was a Valentine's Day present. So now I'm with y'all. I'm part of the club. I'll have ice for 24 hours in my... because I need that. I need ice for 24 hours in my... We buy things. We do. We buy things. But you know what? 24 hours ain't forever. Gosh, what a reminder. Every time you hold your cup, you think, it's slower, but that ice is melting and it's going away. Oh, Christian, hope in God. Hope in God, because He does not melt. He does not pass away. His joy is ever unending. Psalm 16 says this, and I preach this at funerals. It says this, there are pleasures at your right hand forevermore. Psalm 16:11. You know the verse. There is joy in the presence of Jesus that is forevermore. And that is why a Christian at a Christian funeral can smile, even though we miss and dearly love a person. We can smile and say, you are at the right hand of God and you are enjoying Him forevermore. Amen is right. Amen is right. Forevermore, we enjoy God. And while pleasure here on this earth is passing away. It is vanity. It is as a mist. The pleasure of God forevermore. Verse 10 says this, "And whatever my eyes desired, I did not keep from them. I sought every pleasure on the planet that I could. I kept my heart from no pleasure, for my heart found pleasure in all my toil. I did find joy in things. In all the work I had, I did find pleasure. And this pleasure," he says, "was the reward for his toil." In other words, he worked hard building his stuff. He worked hard gaining all of these things. And his reward was what? The feelings he got. He showed off his work of art. And people said, "Whoa, preacher, that's nice." And he felt good. And he had all of his servants and slaves fanning him and bringing him grapes and oranges. And he would eat them and, "Oh, that tastes good." And he received the joy. And then look in verse 11. You know, before we look in verse 11, let me underscore this with a passage from 1 Timothy. Because there are some who will say, you know, we're not supposed to have fun. We're not supposed to have joy. We're not supposed to enjoy things of this world. It's the aesthetic movement. It's those who say, stay away from all pleasures. And there were those in the Bible that you'll see. And Paul knew them. And Paul, in his address, or in his letter to Timothy, he said this in 1 Timothy 4. Listen to what he said. This is great. Yes, we get joy from painting a work of art. Why? Look at this. This is good. Key in right here. Key in. If you've keyed out, key back in. For everything created by God is what? It's good. God didn't make something bad. Everything He made is good. And that fish might not taste good to you, but that doesn't mean because God made it bad. Because He made it for another purpose other than eating. Y'all get what I'm saying? Everything He made was good. And nothing is to be rejected if. And here's a big if. Because yes, many things are to be rejected. Yes. But He said, nothing's to be rejected if it's received with thanksgiving. In other words, if we can turn to God and thank Him for His gift to us, we receive it with joy. So Christian, may I ask you a question? Is there a way in which we enjoy and appreciate things in this world different than a non-believer? And the answer is what? Yes. And this verse gives us the key. This verse gives us the key to that. If we enjoy things with a heart of what? You're the preacher now. And you've preached the sermon to me. You see, in life we enjoy things. And we can enjoy them because there is a God who has given us something to enjoy. And He has made everything good. And it is meant to be given to us with thanksgiving. That means we receive a blessing of God and we say, "Thank you, God, for LeBlanc's water that has quenched my ailing throat this morning." Let me read the rest of that verse. Can you pull verse 5 up for me, please? Hear it. Nothing is to be rejected if it's received with thanksgiving, for it is made what? Holy by two things. By the Word of God and as we walk through life enjoying things, as we walk through life building things, as we walk through life enjoying people and having relationships, as we walk through life laughing at things, there are two agents that make anything worthwhile. and it's the Word of God that has declared right and wrong with that thing. Okay? Now get it? Things that God made are not bad. What man does with them can be bad. Amen? Or it can be good. The Word of God can make something holy because we take it and we use it for good. Because we're using it in the way God intended for us to use it. Y'all got that? As you appreciate things and give thanks to God, use the things He's giving you according to His Word to rejoice in them. Amen? Amen. Point number two. As we enjoy them and take them, and let's say you get a new rifle, and instead of shooting somebody with that, which would be doing a bad thing, you shoot a deer with that, which would be a what? Hunters we are, right? Would be a good thing because, not necessarily, because if we just take and shoot all the deer we see, that's called poaching, or doing it out of season would be called poaching, right? If we do it as God intended, let's follow the law, let's shoot the deer, let's go get the deer, let's bring him home, and let's make some deer venison or spaghetti or whatever we make out of deer. Let's make him, it wouldn't be venison, would it? Would it? Okay, venison. I'm not a hunter, obviously. But I do know there's a season and you have to use a gun. And you can eat the deer. So we take that, and then as we do that, we've done it, we followed the law, we've done it rightly. And then we take and we eat that deer meat, that lean meat, and we take our first bite and we go, what do? We say, thank you, God. And we pray. You see, you got the Word of God and you got prayer working together on everything that you do to make it holy. Yes, as a Christian, yes, the answer is yes. It's always yes. Always, yes. Do I enjoy things differently than a non-believer? The answer is what, church? Yes. And it means if I've had 3 pieces of pizza, am I going to be a glutton by having 4, 5, and 6? Maybe I shouldn't do that. But on the first 3 pieces, I'm enjoying and thanking God for them. Do you see? Okay, this is taking God's creation and enjoying them and doing it by God's Word for prayer up unto Him. And always remembering, back to Ecclesiastes verse 11, then I considered all the work my hands have done, I've considered all the toil I expended on it, and behold, it was all vanity and a striving after the wind. It went away. It was passing. There was nothing to be gained. And what's our phrase under here? Under the sun. There's nothing to be gained. No lasting gain under the sun. So here's where I would be remiss if I didn't stop right now and say this. God has created this world for you and I to enjoy. But He has not created this world for us to enjoy apart from Him. Don't have time to read it this morning, but Romans chapter 1 talks about the Lord coming in, or us taking the creation and worshiping the Creator, the creation, rather than the Creator. What this is saying, you know what, there's no such thing as not having time to read God's Word. I thought I wrote it down. I didn't write it down. Oh, there it is. Romans 1, verse 25. Quickly, and if Garrett can pull it up. Romans 1, there it is. Because they exchanged the truth about God for a lie, and they did what? They worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator. This is the problem. This is sin. And this is the problem. We've taken all of the things God has given us to enjoy, and we've made them our God. We have made them the pursuit and our ultimate joy. My ultimate joy is that bite of cake. My ultimate joy is shooting that deer. My ultimate joy is having a child. My ultimate joy is finding a significant other. My ultimate joy is something created. This is sin. And friends, all of you in this room are guilty of it. I'll go ahead and tell you. All of us are guilty of it. But thanks be to God who gave His Son, Jesus Christ, to redeem us from this idolatry. To redeem you from your idolatry. Thanks be to God. Amen? He has given His Son to die upon the cross for our idolatry. He's given His Son to die upon the cross, be buried in the grave, to raise again, to bring us new life. Life that isn't set in finding ultimate joy in the creation, but finding ultimate joy in the ultimate being. Friends, say it with me, hope in God. So if you have found yourself seeking your ultimate joy in the creation rather than the Creator, you've come to the right place and you've come to the right book, because the Lord has told us that Jesus Christ is the ultimate reality of all things. And if we will turn away from seeking ultimate joy in the creation and turn to seeking ultimate joy in the Lord Jesus Christ, we will find life and life abundant. Sin leads us to a place where we replace God with something else. And Christians, I would beg to offer you that even as a Christian, there are days in which you seek your joy in the creation rather than the Creator. And there's but one answer to this. As a non-believer, your answer is this: repent. Change your way and come unto the Lord and say, Lord, forgive me of my sin of idolatry. Receive me unto You and I will follow You and seek my ultimate pleasure in You, my God. Christian, the answer is the same for us. We need to repent of our godlessness, of our idolatry, of our materialism, and come to Jesus and say, Lord, I know You. My life is pursuing You, but I know that I'm not perfect. And there are roots of sin in my life that come up, and seek pleasure in things apart from You in ways that are not honored by Your Word, and in ways that I'm not giving thanks to You through prayer. So Lord, I repent of those things. So whoever you are here this morning, I ask that you come before God. You repent of hedonism and be transformed unto Christian hedonism, or seeking your joy and pleasure in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. Oh, Father, thank You. Thank You for Your Word to lead us, to guide us, and to help us. Lord, may it do its work through us by Your Spirit and bring us to repentance. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. I invite you to our time of response, however you'd like to respond. You do that as we sing. If you need to just bow there and repent, then you do that. If you need to come before the Lord and for the first time say, I need to confess the Lord Jesus as my Savior. I need to have my sin washed away and covered by the blood of Jesus, I'm right here. I'd love to talk with you and pray with you as you do that. However you need to respond, let's stand and sing Whiter Than Snow. The blood of Jesus made us whiter than snow.
Lord Jesus, I long to be perfectly whole. I want Thee forever to transform my soul. Break down every idol, cast out every foe. Now wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Whiter
than snow. Oh, Spirit of God,
I wait, blessed Lord, and I pray.
tipped you a little bit over today. Will you forgive me? Miss Melanie said I could keep going, so she amen'd me right in the middle there, and I just kept on going. God is good, amen? Amen, amen. Oh, God is good. God is good. Enjoy your week, and enjoy it in Christ. Amen? Enjoy your week in Christ. All right, a few things. Tonight's a big night. We begin our Sunday evening small groups. Brother Chaz, how to study the Bible. And I know y'all sort of began last week, but we'll be breaking up this week. Myself, the Truth Project. Thinking through the things of God. That's the best way I can put it. Thinking through the things of God. And our children will begin Kids Jam tonight. And they'll be learning Scripture and having fun doing it. But doing it according to God's Word. And what was